Thanks again for tuning in. I'm your host, Reese Roberts, and this is The Corporate Critic by Serve Inc. Our organization of researchers is here to help you establish and process your own professional administrative claims for anything ranging from securities, banking, leasing, lending, court cases, and anything else connected to your Social Security account number. Tickets to our child support seminar hosted in Buckhead, Atlanta are now on sale. Find them for as low as $70 when you search keywords child support on Eventbrite. Okay, now let's dig into our latest episode of The Corporate Critic with your host, Reese Roberts at Serving.
Answer that question of who are the people, but when you say that, do you mean who are the people that are going to join us in this providing of the service, or
yes,
okay,
yes, that's exactly what I'm asking. Yes.
All right, so I think that whoever is going to self-determine and put themselves in this position, let's use me for an example because I have a tribal organization that I'm self-determining. The way I want, personally, this is just my vision, to expand the organization is to literally recruit based on competency and effectiveness. So the people who will be taking on these administrative roles will be people who are educators, ones who are trainers, ones who know how to transfer ideas, ones who know how to manage projects, ones who know how to develop relationships. These would be the qualifications of those people that would be sort of like the head of a department or the secretary of a department or the commissioner of a department in the executive structure. So we would all be coming together on an executive level so that we can fill out this department and give it the functionality that it will need in order for it to govern itself inside of our structure. And so us being able to do that based on someone who is competent, when we have these conversations, we demonstrate competency just by how we're able to have discourse, how we're able to bring out the ideas and ask the important questions, because questions matter. And that's why I would say Grumpy is extremely competent. CP is really competent. Majestic and Mosaic, they're competent because we can sit here and firstly understand the language of a leader and also to be able to push the envelope forward to get to the next step like you're doing right now. And so if we demonstrate this competency to each other, this willingness to submit to one another, this ability to trust one another. If I say I trust that CP can be in a role inside of this organization where he is making sure that we are positioning ourselves for recognition and interface in international intercourse, okay? He has the ability to do that, so I'm gonna trust that whenever I sit at the table with him and Grumpy and whoever else we deem to be competent, we are all going to let our expertise serve the mission that it's there to serve. We all have different specialties, purposes, different skills and abilities. These things fit together. They fit together in the organization. And so because we're filling out such a big organization, it's great because we can start off small. It's just like kind of how I always use Facebook as an example of how they became the massive organization they are right now. They started off small, just like Amazon and everybody else who made it to this major status of a corporation. They started off with just a few, just a little bit. And then they start to say, okay, well, now that we got our administrative offices built out, now we can go ahead and open up the Department of Land Reclamation. Now we can go ahead and open up the Department of, Education for this organization. We can start taking on all of these administrative functions because the executive branch is a private functioning administrative service. This is the same thing that we have the ability to do. Privately governed administrative service. And that's pretty much it. The training will come from us. Do you know how many people you can influence when you create outlines and training material to pass an idea down to them? I did corporate training, adult learning, at the IRS for several years. I was a quality trainer. And so they used to come to us and they did something called train the trainer. So they would come to us with all of the legislations and all of the, lawyer research, and they would come to us with all of the codes and everything, and they would say, okay, now we're going to train you on how we want you to process these claims and these cases based on all of this law and all these policies and all these regulations and stuff. We want you to understand it this way, and we want you to work these cases this way. That's how they trained us. So it would be no different for us. And with our administrative service, we want these cases on these claims to be processed in this manner. We are looking for this type of documentary evidence. We are looking for this type of administrative enforcement. And once we bring our administrative office, can you imagine us bringing our administrative office to one of the administrative enforcement offices of the United States? Almost every section, almost every act, I think every act in the entire code has an administrative enforcement office. So if my administrative enforcement office links up with your administrative enforcement office, we are equals at that point, because this is my executive.
Yeah, you're right. Everyone has an inspector general.
That's right.
Every single office has an inspector general to oversee exactly what you're describing.
And so we don't need to have all those inspector generals. We can have just one. That's enough for now. Because when I roll up and I start pulling y'all asses up and I start auditing y'all, which is the reason why my organization exists right now, I'm auditing corporations. I'm auditing government corporations and non-government corporations. I don't care who you are. If you are serving the public and you are administering public trust, I'm auditing you. Because if I find any instance of a violation or some breach of contract, this is what I'm administratively enforcing. You breached this contract. I have documentary evidence, and I also have your codes, your regulations, and all these other applicable laws that say you are in violation. Administratively, we're going to handle it. And so if they don't want to honor it all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, that's cool. We can handle that, because now we know how to keep our people on code. We know how to fight against the violation. If I know that what you were supposed to do was X, Y, and Z, but you insist on doing A, B, and C, then guess what? I'm not going to sign off. I'm not signing it. Nobody's going to sign it. And now what happens to your engine when nothing is running? None of the people consent. None of the people will sign. That's something that y'all are going to have to deal with.
Now you mentioned the fifth pillar of the nation.
Enforcement.
You mentioned the fifth pillar. I wasn't even going to bring it up, but you're doing such a great job that I'll just list it to you. Consent. Mm-hmm. Consent is another pillar of beginning or starting the nation. must be consent of the people that you're bringing into the nation. Can you expand on that, Mama?
Oh, yes, because when we are educated, and this is one of the missions of our organization, Serve Inc., educating consumers for the purpose of corporate compliance, because understanding that numbers are a form of power, then the more we have where we are questioning in the public these corporations and their leaders, calling their names out, making sure that these people are being shown for what they're supposed to be doing, our education will naturally sort of inform our decisions to consent or not. Now, I believe that we have some work to do when it comes to how we place our consent strategically, because for one thing, these people got a lot of our natural resources tied up and under their control. Okay, so our natural resources being our livelihood, we still have to be smart enough to maintain access to our resources. However, we still can create a domino effect where things are being toppled over and then collected for recycling on our end. So if I come to you and I say, all right, your automobile industry is corrupted, or your health industry is corrupted, like whatever we so choose to audit and investigate for corruption, when we find that as a group, as a nation, we can choose, this is something that we want to take over because it has been corrupted. Now, moving like other nations do, Indians have control in the oil, gas companies, they're always at the gas stations. The Chinese, they have their lock on the beauty markets, the manufacturing of products. These are things in our national systems over here with this territory. We can look at what is it that is being corrupted in this system so that we can just focus on that one thing and take it over. Like, for example, the birth certificates. We have the power right now to stop that foolishness. If we go on code, now this is really important. If we go on code, where from now on, we create a campaign, a social media campaign for our propaganda, and we push hard on our ads, black women, stop going to the hospital to give birth and stop telling them the name of your child. On code. We're already doing that.
That's heavy. Because they do that anyway.
Right.
There's a lot of children that are born without birth certificates that they use for their weird ass satanic, rituals and shit. So,
yep.
Man, that's heavy. That's heavy.
And I'm gonna tell you something even better than just not, giving over the name, but also telling them, listen, any information you take from me is titled, all the beneficial interest in that information is titled to my estate. So when you do certificate my child, I will allow you to certificate my child, but you're going to do it under these express trust conditions. I'm going to tell you that all that beneficial interest is titled to my estate. Here's my account number.
Does everybody on stage understand what she means when she say trust? So like all these, rich kids, most of their money comes from what? In law, it's called a trust. So y'all understand what she means when she's saying a trust or like I really want y'all to understand this, because what she's laying down is super heavy right now. And I know it's meaty, I know it's meaty, it's probably a lot to digest, but you need to understand it, because what she's expressing is that everything is just like God has said earlier, everything is based off of contracts. Like you, so when I talked about warfare earlier, and I clarified saying it doesn't mean it has to be violence. It just means that, as Mama Reese just said, you use their codes against them. So if you don't want to apply your own coach to us that we gotta
Yep, on our own coach. But you know what I love about law is that we can interface. Like I said, we can have our own, let's just say we run on with the idea that we have taken an interest as an organization. We have taken an interest in our human resources as our own goods. Okay, that the beneficial interest in those stock certificates actually belong to us, and we're going to claim it as an organization for any enumerated person who is on record as Black or African American, or ancestors that are Black or African American. We take an a beneficial interest in those stock certificates, and we create our bylaws that govern our now reclaimed property, where we say, okay, these are human resources, and our code says that whenever one of these people or their descendants or whatever, whenever they come into one of your facilities, our protocol is that they are required to submit to you this information for titling purposes to our organization, because we're taking an interest in it. We're claiming an interest in it. And we're letting you know you need to set up some kind of process that when you see one of us come in there, that you automatically know you need to hand them this set of papers, because you need to know where to title this certificate to, or the beneficial interest to this certificate to. Make sure that that person has given you an EIN number, not a social security number, to title that certificate to. Make sure that that person has told you who the beneficiaries are.
Come on now, teacher. Now you gave us 6 principles to build a nation. Interest.
That's it. That's it.
You gave us 6 principles. I didn't even have to ask you to do it, but come you on. Did it anyway.
Come on.
Interest.
This is what we're
about.
What
is your interest? What is your motivation? Come on now, talk about
it. We're going to have to do it. And it's systemic. You know, this is administrative duties. These are things that must be done, because this is how we press our financial buttons. This is what the system is calling for. It's calling for title of ownership, who is in control of the property, who has the ability to convey, is this person competent, are they minor or major? What is the status of this property? Where is it to be directed? The administrator sets those parameters and enforces those things. And so it's just going to be up to us to, like I said, assume these duties, assume these roles, and get ourselves in a position where we're, you know, no different than them. We have, if you got a president and a CEO, so do I. Okay, if you have a trustee and an indenture, so do I. Okay. If you have an administrator, you have a treasurer, so do I. So whenever we come together, your treasurer talking to mine. Your administrator is talking to mine. You see what I mean? Your president is talking to mine. We it's no longer the individual who is responsible for trying to fend for themselves. We are here to present ourselves as a nation. So if I say, okay, the nation is being run by this tribal organization, this is our administrative function, and these are the things that we need to administer as far as us taking over, so that we're no longer being dominated in these areas, or we're no longer seeing a monopoly. And I'm thinking, y'all might want to do this with me, of filing a claim with the FTC that says the United States federal corporation is guilty of antitrust because they are cornering the market. There's a monopoly when it comes to administrative government services. They are the only ones in commerce who are providing.
Yes, that goes right back to the Monroe Doctrine.
Thank you for listening. I am Reese Roberts, your host of The Corporate Critic. I do want to take some time to let you know we're having a seminar here in Atlanta on July the 22nd. Tickets are available on our website, serveincorporated.com. If you're interested, the seminar will be teaching you how to use administrative enforcement to dismiss child support cases, among many other things. We want to make sure you are informed about how to use consumer law to enforce your rights when you're dealing with any corporation, whether it be a government corporation or not. We specialize in banking and securities, and we'll be teaching you how to enter contracts as a consumer without giving up your rights. Also, how to interact with commercial courts without giving up your rights. We're going to get back into the topic in just a moment, so please make sure you visit us on Eventbrite by searching the keywords child support in order to purchase your tickets, or you can also go on our Instagram page, which is serve.soar.atm. Let's get back into it.
Under Roosevelt after Monroe, that in the Western Hemisphere, that this organization called the United States could have a monopoly on peoples, which is what Mama Reese's is getting at right now. And we do have a case. And by the way, you know, class suits are very effective. Class actions are very effective at getting these people to stop doing what they're doing. You know, CP earlier talked about tort law, and it's very rare when you can elevate to fraud, because fraud is hard to prove. Like, it's hard to prove intent and motivation. But tort law, you can do that all day. And class actions are very successful at getting people to stop these antitrust actions, because remember what Mama Reese said. She's talking about trust. So what trust is she talking about? She's talking about the public trust. She's talking about the public trust. And so the public trust is that the market will remain open for whoever wants to enter that market. No matter, you know, what their background is, or, you know, who they are, or whatever. So it is a man, what she's laying down is crazy, because I wish when I was a baby, I wish when I was going through school, that they were teaching civic lessons, because I would have moved through life a whole lot different. I would have been very prepared. I would have been, more educated. I would have been more congenial to my peers. I would have been more moral. You know, that just if I just knew just these basic concepts that she's teaching right now, because what y'all are getting is college level. What y'all on this stage is getting is actually college level, understanding of civic law. This is wonderful.
I'm so glad that we are all here to at least appreciate the substance, because these kind of discussions are always, going to be seen as, I guess, non-traditional or, out of the box thinking, which is great, because this is nothing really new to us genetically, but it is new to us, physically and just in our current reality. So I think it's going to be good for us to let these ideas come out, but also to make sure that we are taking action, because I would love to see one reason why I wanted to get a corporation and brand it as a corporate, because everybody kept talking about, corporations, you're an agent. We don't do it to corporations. We are against corporations. When I was in my studying and learning phase, I kept hearing that, but I'm like, nah, I don't think I agree with that. I think a corporation is a powerful thing whenever you are the one that is setting the mission. Whenever a righteous person is behind the wheel of a corporation, that's very powerful to be able to use a corporation for the goodwill of all mankind. So I'm like, okay, let me see about this thing. So I went and got a brand professionally designed for, you know, corporate brand identity. I started conceptualizing out bylaws. I have an entire catalog of articles from my bylaws, which set out our what I call a family field. I have mapped out several departments, which will be deriving, or I should say evidencing, our jurisdiction coming from the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, that contract that the United States is a party to. Our contract and our bylaws, as far as our executive department, is being derived from all of those natural rights and those natural expressions of law. So that way, when we express our trust and when we express our administrative authorities, duties, and things like that under this brand, like the United States has done under their brand, we're better able to be recognized. It's all for the purpose of recognition. If the United States has a logo, so do I. Like I said, everything you're doing, I have a compatible, like, and equal entity or force or office that is corresponding to yours. That way, we're properly interfaced. Anytime a man does not have a state, then he, or I should say, anytime a man is not self-governed, then he will be governed in whatever capacity that he is allowing himself to be governed. So this is the concept that we want to move with, is that whatever it is that you're governing, you got an office of Department of Education, so do I. Because you're not going to tell me that if I'm failing to govern my own education, that now you're going to be in charge of it? No, thank you. I have a Department of Education for myself. Thank you very much. Back off of me. We don't need your Department of Education, because we got a whole bunch of competent educators who are capable of teaching on every level, and we just simply don't need your education services, your governing services in the education department. So if I go through the entire structure, okay, of the United States government and their executive departments and all of their governing roles that they have assumed. If you look at the United States Code, the table of contents, there are 54 titles, with one of them being reserved with no description. But for all these things, agriculture, domestic security, aliens and nationality, arbitration, armed forces, bankruptcy, banks and banking, a census, the Coast Guard, commerce and trade, conservation. These are all the things they're governing for us, okay? Including us, Indians, in Title 25. The revenue code of the nation, okay? Liquor, intoxicating liquor. They're choosing whatever they want to govern. They're governing labor. They're governing mineral lands and mining. They're governing money and finance. They're governing it all. Patents, postal, the post service, all these things they're governing. And how many titles do we have? We ain't governing none of this. We don't have any of these structures set up. There are no, it's none of this. And so when I say bylaws, then we're going to take on some of these duties. Okay, right now I think that we can start creating our own provisions about, let's say, for example, arbitration, Title IX. We can interface with that because we have arbitrators. Each one of us can become arbitrators. So it's easy for us to say, all right, whatever you got going on in Title IX for arbitration, we will self-govern in that area. We have the resources for it already. Thank you. We no longer need that. Title 12, all of us are private bankers. So banks and banking, we don't need you to regulate that anymore. We will take on that department right now. because we are all private bankers. We understand it. We are competent enough to teach our own people according to our understanding and interpretation. If there's a discrepancy between our understanding and yours, we'll go into the dispute phase or the arbitration phase.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of The Corporate Critic. I'm your host, Reese Roberts, and don't forget to pick up your tickets to our seminar for child support and other forms of private administration. See you next time.